Hi, I'm Siobhan Sarna, founder of SIBO SOS and author of Healing SIBO. And I am so glad you're here because my dear friend and health educator and advocate, Steve Wright, is here with me today. And Steve is an engineer by training. He has created a very special line, a small line of supplements that I swear by and that he put into the marketplace because he couldn't find what he wanted and also was dissatisfied what he did find. So we'll talk a little bit about that for sure. But he's been educating millions of gut health patients. Steve, when did you start online teaching people?
2009.
Seriously, OG is not words that I usually say, or you're like, you know, but it's true. Like, you really were a leader and a pioneer. Now, this is a reschedule. So thanks for working with us last time. He's doing great. He did have the bug and got over it quite quickly. And we're really glad. And the topic today is how to eat what you want this holiday season, which, you know, we usually talk about things that are more scientific in title, but I just wanted to keep it like real for this, you know, sort of reality check about what this season is bringing to us. And Steve's going to talk to us about what everyone really needs to know to digest their food every day of the week, not just for the holidays. And I'm going to chime in with some tips and ideas that have helped me socially through the years to manage complicated eating situations. For lack of a better term, being a vegetarian since 1986, I had a guy tell me that he couldn't believe that his dream girl was he was going to leave me. Now, we only dated three times, but he was not going to end up with his dream girl, me, because he wanted to eat a hamburger. I was like, you know, thank you, sir. Thank you so much for just clearing out of here right now. Thank you for saving us both. Anyway, I've had a lot of situations. Anyway, Steve, talk to us about what we all should be thinking about in terms of how to have better food digestion every day.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what your goal is. I don't know what the people who are listening's goal is, but my goal for everybody is that you can eat what you want when you want.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you happen to be in that phase of healing where you want to be a militant and you want to be super strict, great. If you happen to be in the phase where you're, you know, more 90-10 ish, especially when it comes to the holidays, perfect. Either way, what we're about to talk about is basically how do you not go insane and how do you not necessarily rely on other people to handle whatever life throws you. In other words, when you wake up and you're like, oh, it's Thanksgiving. Oh no, there's going to be sugar. There's going to be gluten. There's going to be FODMAPs. There's going to be meat. You know, if you're a vegetarian,
whatever.
What are the mental steps, you know, emotional steps you can do to help yourself that day? But also when you open your cabinet and look at what you have, if you have healthy gut supplements, great. If you have microbiome lab supplements, great. If you have somebody else's supplements, great. But how do you actually take those supplements that day to handle whatever you're going to eat? Because I think a lot of people are asking for their health practitioner to tell them what to do. And then it, you know, the truth is that you can take control of at least a small part of this and have a much better holiday experience.
And better attending a wedding experience and workplace lunch experiences. Yeah. So Steve, let's just start with enzymes. First of all, this isn't medical advice, everybody. Talk to your practitioner, educate yourself, show up educated with your list of comments, questions, and concerns. And this is known as, you know, a therapy you can do for yourself that's very safe. And not all digestive enzymes are created equally. And if what happens is I think some people will take a digestive enzyme, not experience a result, and write the entire category off, which is a shame. So Steve, will you go over for us what the different enzymes, like carbohydrate, you know, match them up with the food type and then talk to us about holozymes and also the tips on when to eat enzymes, take them in relation to food and what happens in between meals when we take enzymes.
Yeah. So you got to have, for all supplements, you have to have the right product at the right dose. You can have the best product, but you take the wrong dose and you'll write off, you'll put it in your supplement graveyard and you'll be like, oh, that one ABC product, you know, that whole category, screw it. It didn't work. I want to educate people first and foremost, it could have been a dosing issue. It could have been a product issue, but it could be a dosing issue. So when it comes to products, digestive enzymes are one of the safest, longest used products out there. You know, I would say less than 2% of people have some sort of reaction to any sort of enzyme. And the people who do have that reaction seem to have some sort of active ulcer or gastritis. You can check with your doctor. You can check with your practitioner. Obviously, if you take what we say here as like the fact and the law of the land, then you don't get what we're trying to do here. So it's trust, but verify. So you need to be an adult here. But the safety studies, if you look at the one like I have and you've used them, they are extremely safe at high doses, like significantly high doses. Some cancer protocols have you taking 160 enzymes per day. We're talking about taking like 2 to 6 or 8 per meal. So it's not even close to the same neighborhood. When you look at your digestive enzyme, and if you're in the SIBO SOS group and you don't have a digestive enzyme, you either haven't heard one of our talks, you haven't been around the bush long enough. I don't know why you wouldn't have one at this point, whether it's Healthy Gut or somebody else, because they're significantly important for preventing your bugs from eating your food for you. And if you want the nutrients, so like if you're paying more for organic or more for grass-fed or wild-caught or whatever, and you want those nutrients, you need to take them before the bugs take them. And so enzymes help you do that. They help break down the food, get it into your body, make sure the bugs aren't eating it, things like that. So you can turn over the back of your supplement label for your digestive enzymes, and you'll notice that there's a list of enzymes there, and they should be listed not in milligrams, but in units of activity. True FDA legal, the way that it's written, you're supposed to list the activity because you can't compare milligrams to milligrams. And then some people's, they list different activity units that are outdated in order to boost their number of units, which kind of sucks, but it makes it really complex. It's probably one of the hardest categories to compare product to product. But what you should see is proteases. You should see amylases. You should see lipases. These should be high, and lipase will be lower because of the way it's calculated. But amylase, you want at least 20,000 units of amylase per serving. Protease, you want at least 100,000 units per serving. Lipase, depending on how they measured it, if they're using the old way or the new way, you're probably going to want at least 150 FIP or 200 FIP or more. Like I said, lipase can be measured in thousands or hundreds, depends on the unit.
Why are you saying FIP? What's FIP again?
It's a unit of measurement of activity. I don't remember the actual acronym.
Well, that's fine. Steve, before you go any further, what does amylase handle?
Amylase handles all the carbohydrates. So you're sweet potatoes, your white potatoes, your rices, your bananas, your all the carbohydrates of all different types.
And protolase?
So protease handles protein. That one's a pretty pretty easy one to remember.
Yep. I can never keep these straight. And lipase?
Is fat.
Fat, okay.
And so these are your pancreatic enzymes, your main pancreatic enzymes. So you're going to want a lot of those because they're heavy lifters. They do a big amount of the work, but that's just the beginning of the enzyme cascade. Next up is your brush border enzymes. And those are more nuanced and more sort of detailed, if you will. These are things like lactase, which is for lactose. So let's say you know that you have a bit of a dairy reaction. Maybe it gives you a little acne or a little gas and bloating. If you're going to eat extra, you know, if you're going to go to Thanksgiving or a wedding and you're going to have a little of that cheesecake, or you're going to have a little, you know, cream mixed in with your potatoes or something, you may have a lactose issue, and you may want a product that has a higher amount of lactase in it, or you may want to double or triple up on your enzymes as long as it's in there for that meal in case lactose is an issue for you. Now, it's not, you know, sometimes it's the protein in dairy, and sometimes it's the carbohydrate. Carbohydrate component is the lactose component.
Okay. All right. Right. Because that's the sugar, right?
Yep.
Yeah, right. So lactose is the milk sugar. So what about taking digestive enzymes in between meals without food? Because you've talked to me about that a couple of times.
Yeah, so they can be extremely helpful for mopping up any sort of junk that's left over inside of your gut. They're mildly helpful for biofilms. They're not like a biofilm buster, but they just help sort of have a more natural gut. And then whatever is not used in breaking down your food gets absorbed into the body and can help with things like fibrinogen. Fibrinogen is sort of the stickiness in your blood, the part of the protein that helps your blood coagulate and sort of stick together. They can be helpful for people with pain and inflammation. There's several studies on proteolytic enzymes for that. Our Holozymes has pilot trials on it. It showed that when you take two with a meal and you take two before bed, so that means two like on an empty stomach in between meals and then two with meals, it showed about an 18% average blood sugar reduction for the people who took it and up to a 40% reduction in uric acid. And a slight cholesterol reduction. Now, these numbers are pilot trials. They were placebo controlled, but they were not, you know, these were not large subsets of people. This was like there's 30 people and under. So the data is not completely reliable. We can't make these claims. It probably won't work for you, but it's something you might want to try if you have a blood glucose monitor of some type, or you're monitoring those levels, and let us know, because we hope to be able to fund bigger studies in the future around this stuff to validate the possibilities with enzymes. But they're really impactful, especially for people with SIBO, histamine reactions, IBS. They can be, I think, some of the most powerful supplements out there.
And they're so underrated, I think, because they're easy to get. And they're, you know, not a fortune. They're not inexpensive when they're good, but they're not a fortune. And again, a lot of people, I think, have tried them and they were like, meh. But it was, Steve's already addressed that, it was possibly a dosage issue. So Steve—
Or it's the missing minerals, you know.
Okay, talk to us about that.
Yeah, so if the back of your enzyme bottle does not say pancreatin, that means it was grown in a lab and it's a vegetarian version. And so if you have a vegetarian version, which 95% of all supplements, enzyme supplements in the market are vegetarian versions, you're going to need mineral cofactors to turn that enzyme on to make it work the best that it can. And so that's part of the sort of magic in our bottle, is that we have this AES patent, which is all the minerals per capsules. So basically it's an entire pill cap that is like got everything else in it. If not, you're reliant on finding that enzyme has to find the mineral in the stomach somewhere, if not. And so it's sort of a chance game. And I don't know about you guys, but if I'm going to be having a dicey meal, or if I'm going to be cheating a little bit with some sugar, I don't want to play the game of chance. I want it to work.
Yeah. Exactly. The stakes are high. It's holiday time, right? We want to have a good time. We don't want to be hungover from our food. And that's, of course, applies to every single day. Okay. So the patented AES absorption system, that is the minerals, right?
Correct.
Okay. That's very cool. Very, very cool. Listen, we can, Clarissa's here with us, and in the chat, you can put, what are you dreading, or what are you looking forward to for the holidays? What's your favorite food? Just give us a little insight as to what you're thinking about. Again, with the holiday season coming, like I have these pictures of me, Steve. One day I'll put them in a blog or something, but you know, we gather with the same people every year, pretty much. We're so blessed to have this extended family. And I can look at these pictures of myself over the years. I know exactly how I felt in that picture. I can't do that for everything, but I have like these moments at holidays where I'm like, oh yeah, that year I felt sick. Oh yeah, that year I had to leave dinner early. Oh yeah, that year I did well. That, you know, I just this like calendar of photos. And this year I have every intention of doing great and not feeling like, oh, I can't wait till this is over so I can go lie down and unbutton my pants. Not that I've never not unbuttoned my pants with a tunic on before. I'm just saying at the table, but I really want everyone to have the tools that they need mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, supplementally to really take this on, that it's, you know, it's a loaded time. It's also a joyous time. This is what I say about my friend who hates hospitals. I'm like, look, not everything bad happens at hospitals. Babies are born, lives are saved. Don't think that hospitals are all going to kill you, Linda. So, you know, it's a mixed bag, people. That's all there is to it. So Barbara Andre is saying it would be wonderful to have some dairy and sugary foods if possible, have avoided them for a long time. Gluten is probably out of the picture. And then Marianne M is saying, please address how not having a gallbladder would cause effect using needing digestive enzymes. Is ox bile needed as well? Why don't we do that?
So I don't believe that you need ox bile if you have a missing gallbladder, but you're going to need lipase and you may need enzyme support for the rest of your life. So some people, they take ox bile and it's like a magic experience for them.
Right.
They respond right away. If you've tried it and you haven't had that magic experience, which is in my experience, like I said, I've been trying supplements on myself and on others for over 14 years now. And in general, ox bile, if I had to wager, I would not bet for a lack of gallbladder that ox bile is going to win. I would bet on enzymes over ox bile to get the best effect. So it's not that ox bile is like bad. It's just that I don't know if it's because the extraction from animals is different from like animal batch to animal batch. You know, I don't know if it's the time of the year that it's harvested. I don't know how it's spun up and filtered. I don't know what it is, but, or maybe it's just that not that many people actually need it. I'm not sure, but I know that I don't like to bet with other people's health. And so I want the odds to be really high in your favor if you're going to take a chance on a product, whether it's our product or someone else's. So I would say test it if you haven't tested it. But in general, I would say 25% or less of people with gallbladders are like, oh my gosh, ox bile is like the thing I needed. In fact, more people need a full spectrum enzyme and they may need a lipase booster. And that is usually the more reliable option, in my opinion, for someone missing a gallbladder.
All right. Any particular consideration for patients with diabetes?
I mean, I just said that our product, Colozymes, has pilot clinical trial data suggesting a reduction in post-meal blood sugar. So I would say that the outcome for someone with type 2 diabetes is never go without an enzyme, whether it's our product or someone else's. You know, like there's all this stuff about probiotics, right? There's like that, there's that pendulum probiotic that has like data for type 2 diabetes. But the outcome of their study was so that the impact size was so low. People are so focused on probiotics and they're missing the basics. Probiotics are like, I don't know, that's like finding the perfect lipstick shade to go with your outfit. First, you got to get the right outfit. And I mean, some people might dress with lipstick first. I'm not sure how you do it, Siobhan, but first, got to get the right outfit. The right outfit is being able to digest your food. And so I think most people with diabetes would be helped by any enzyme product out there at the right dosage.
Awesome.
So
good answer. Yeah. Good way. That's like me using a sports analogy when you talk about fashion like that. It's very cute. I get very proud when I do a sports analogy. No, well played, sir. I wanted to just say that Steve has offered our community the $15 off and free shipping. If you're overseas, if you're out of the United States, they do ship. He will be the first person to say that they wish the shipping was less, but that doesn't get free shipping, but you can still take advantage of the $15 off. And then also, thanks, Clarissa, for posting that. There are the links. Also, Steve's Facebook group is excellent, and he has health coaches in there helping people with their dosages and with their like nuances when they take the formulations. And I do want to talk about the HCL Guard in a second. But do any of your enzymes in Holozyme help break down fibrotic tissue and intestinal strictures?
I can't say that that's been studied from any study that I'm aware of, that like our enzymes or any other sort of systemic enzyme therapy does that. Like they put it, you know, in mice or in humans before and after, and it worked. I can't say that that test has been done. I do know that some people report benefit from that type of issue, but I can't say if that's the reason why.
Okay, of course. Donna hasn't eaten gluten or dairy in 8 years. Donna, You are hardcore. How are you with sugar? I ask you that because my sister also hasn't had gluten or sugar in a really long time. And I did this assessment with my sister. I like sent it to a few people that love me. And I was like, you know, the questionnaire was like, where do you see that Siobhan could improve? What do you see her strengths? And she wrote down she could give up sugar. I'm like, whoa, that's a really strong value system for you, my sister. Okay. I really looked at that. I was like, wow, I'm going to reconsider that. So I thank my sister for that. Have not eaten gluten or dairy in 8 years. You know, I get it that once you're in the flow, it is much.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't, if that's working for you and you like life,
don't blow it.
Don't blow it.
So, and she'd love to have a pierogi. So do they make gluten-free pierogies? I don't know.
Not sure. But I want to bring that up. You know, this isn't just about enzymes. This show is also about, you know, mental, emotional tips on how to deal. And yeah. I think the number one way that I've failed in the past is that before I went to the event, I didn't get very clear with myself whether I was going to eat certain groups of food. So whenever I was successful, I was very clear ahead of time. I am unwilling to, you know, drink alcohol, eat gluten or sugar or dairy or whatever. And I stuck to those guns because I walked into the wedding reception or I walked into the Thanksgiving very clear. And the social pressures and the love pressures and all that stuff was like, you know, painful, but doable because I was in integrity with myself. It's the times where I walked in kind of feeling a little healthy and a little adventurous and not really sure what my rules were going to be that I would then end up probably straying and then beating up myself afterwards. And I think that shame guilt spiral afterwards is the worst thing and can lead to more cheating for weeks on end between Thanksgiving and Christmas, which I've done before. And so I think one of the biggest things, you can just get so clear ahead of time. What are your rules of engagement with food?
I love that term. I'm going to totally use that term. Your rules of engagement with food. I love it. That is a good name for a book, Steve. There you go. I love that. And I agree with you 100%. Can anyone else relate where you're like, nah, you know, not totally sure. You'll look at the food table, see how it looks. It's always going to look good unless they like really screw it up. It's always going to look good. And don't go to them hungry, right? To have some food that you know is safe before you show up. Just like don't go to the grocery store hungry. Well, Instacart, which is a service in the United States, I know in other countries they've had like services where people go grocery shopping for you for, you know, as long as you can remember probably. But in the United States, Instacart is a service in the past couple of years that will do the grocery shopping for you. And I was resistant to it. And then I just like out of sheer desperation used it a couple of times. And what I love about it, it is that it, I don't do any impulse shopping. There's no Mint Milano, you know, Pepperidge Farm Remembers cookies are leaping into my cart just because they're right there. It's happened before. I admit it. And that it's saved me a lot of time, saved me a lot of money, and saved me a lot of heartache when it comes to the choices. And, you know, you can get really particular with them. They'll send you a photo of the produce. Like my husband's very picky. If the grapes don't look right, he is not eating them. So I'm like, send me a picture of the grapes. Thank you. I always tip well because I'm a pain in the butt. And it's a tool for you. So just consider that, but get very clear to Steve's point about how you're going to handle that. And like, what if someone says to you, oh, are you not eating that? Oh, it looks so good. This just happened to me. I was at a conference in Miami. They were passing food around with these lovely, you know, waiters and waitresses. And I just said, and I'm, you know, I just said, for me, no, that's not for me. And they were like, okay, no problem. And then it was like, so nothing. It was nothing. If, you know, like when you wear something and you're thinking like, oh, this isn't my color, or this doesn't fit or whatever. And you think other people notice that too. I will tell you right now, they don't. Because in a loving way, I'm just telling you, they don't care. Okay. They are not interested in that. I hope that they are totally interested in you and all of that, but literally they don't care. They don't notice. So unless it's something glaring. So anyway, just some thought
here. Yeah. So once you get your rules of engagement figured out, then as Siobhan alluded to, you got to have backups. So if you're rolling into a weekend with your family and you didn't bring your bottle of enzymes and your, you know, your HCL guard and whatever else, your ox, whatever you need to survive, if you didn't bring extras and you rolled into, you know, a potentially, you know, behind enemy line situation, that's on you. You did not prepare. You're not in your house, as Siobhan said, you're in the grocery store and you're going to get hungry. You might get a little triggered by your family. You might get reminded of when you were a kid and your grandma's favorite macaroni or something. Like, if you don't think those things are coming, then you're just sleepwalking right into a face plant. So think about this stuff ahead of time. And I feel very qualified to speak about this since I have serious emotional eating issues. I used to prepare, Siobhan. I used to go to like 3 therapy sessions with 2 different therapists. So I'd have like 4 sessions about how to go home for Christmas for like a week. And like, we would set up all these structures about how I had to meditate and how I had journal and like, what was I going to eat? And like, how was I going to handle it when I probably had a, you know, cookie. My mom's famous for making like 60 variations of Christmas cookies. Yeah. And luckily in the last few years, she's transitioned to all gluten-free baking. But that's not, you know, I've been doing this for a while and that has not been the case over the years.
Yeah.
And so as somebody who's successfully navigated this like once in my life and mostly just failed my way through it, I hope that you will realize that like these things are coming and there's books, you can go read books about this stuff, about emotional eating, about triggers, about the priming that happens both at your parents' house or the grocery store, things like this. So just don't beat yourself up. Just realize that the deck is probably already stacked against you, but you have tools, you have your integrity, you have your supplements, you can bring snacks. I get snack scarcity. So I roll like deep with a baggie of snacks that are my, like, you know, meat bars and my Paleo Valley and my, you know, my Kind bars, things like that. There you go.
This is my bag that I carry in my purse. I tried doing a bunch of different organizers and it just didn't work. Here's my Kind bar, Steve. Here's my prune / dried plum, individually wrapped. I got a whole thing going on here with my another prune. Okay, another one. This I just recently restocked because this is my big treat, which are some almonds with dark chocolate. So yeah, I get snack scarcity too. And I love that about you. And that we have that in common because I don't want to have be like, honey, I need to go get some food when really just a bite will hold me over and sort of satisfy whatever's going on with me metabolically. So that is me taking charge of my health. I also have a stash of snacks that are hopefully okay in the car. They're my emergency double whammy backup. So when I travel, I bring an additional whole, like people have their toiletries. I got my hair stuff. I got my, you know, credit cards and my travel documents, and I have my snacks. They are just as important as everything else. And those come with me on an airplane too, because I'm freaked out about airplanes.
Okay, 100%.
So, right. Welcome to the therapy session with Steve and Siobhan. okay. So how to decide when to use digestive enzymes versus just betaine HCL supplements. So let's talk about this. The HCL guard, which is the HCL supplements. Let's say someone's never even heard of like, wait, HCL, wait, what? Why are you guys talking about this for like diet and food? So just talk to us about what HCL does and why it's so important in association with digestion. And just the topic here is stomach acid.
Yeah. So HCL is like the acid component of your gastric juices or your stomach acid. And it does a number of things. The acid, the actual acid part of it. One of the things is it like detoxifies LPS coming from your teeth and from your mouth that you're swallowing all day. Another thing is it detoxifies any of the bugs that are on your food or in the drinking of water or pop or whatever you're doing. Probably not pop, but you know, no judgment over here. This show is more about how do you do what you want to do. So the other thing that it does is it helps open up protein structures and turn whatever we don't chew into a more open structure for the enzymes to come in and cleave apart. And so if you don't have enough acid, number one, you're not going to detoxify basically the toxins coming from your mouth, but also the potential bugs and stuff on your food. But you also won't open up the structures of your food, whether that's a walnut or a piece of meat or a sweet potato. And so the enzymes will be on the outside, sort of like nibbling on the structure of the food versus like they're like 3D molecules. If you ever like Googled, if you just Google like 3D protein structure, you'll see that these things are these crazy complex molecules. And what we need them to do is sort of bloom like a flower, because when they do, then the enzymes can go and take all the little petals off, basically. If they don't, if you've ever tried to like, you know, get into a flower that's completely full or completely closed up like this, it you're not going to get access to those petals very easily. And so the same thing happens with our food. So stomach acid and the stomach process is partly about opening that stuff up and giving your enzymes the capacity to go after basically breaking down your food into the right size molecules. Because again, most people don't realize that one of the core tenets of absorbing minerals and carbohydrates, amino acids, fats, is they have to be in a certain size. If they're not in the right size, they don't go across the membrane, the small intestinal membrane. So if they don't get into the right size, still got a little stuff in my lungs. If you don't get to the right size at the right time, you'll miss the window of absorption. And then that's when you start to feed something like SIBO or a yeast overgrowth or something else like that. And so HCL is often overlooked as a very, very simple way. Most people, especially if you're over 50 or you're in a high stress environment or you've had H. pylori, you probably have low stomach acid. If you have food sensitivities or acid reflux, burping, these are other great, perfect signs that you have low stomach acid and should do what is called a betaine HCL challenge. And so we don't have a ton of time to go into that, but basically that means you'll buy HCL Guard or someone else's HCL product, and you will take one capsule with your dinner and you'll find out, do you notice anything? Do you have loose stools or sort of a burning sensation? If you do, then HCL is not for you. Go get a refund. If you bought it at, you know, Vitamin Shop, you might be able to get a refund. If you bought it through Amazon, I don't know if you'll get a refund, but if you bought it through us, we'll definitely give you a refund. And I would say maybe like 6% or so of people who buy HCL Guard end up deciding it's not for them, because it's true. Not everybody has low stomach acid, but a large majority of people with digestion issues do have it. And so that's why we say do the challenge. Find the right dosage. Most people will be between 2 to 4 capsules of HCL Guard per day. And that can totally change your digestion overnight.
That's worth checking it out, guys, for sure. So it also has organic ginger root, 200 milligrams per serving, and it's 2 capsules per serving. And then the deglycerated, how do you say that word? I said it wrong.
Deglycerated licorice root.
Licorice root. And then pepsin and intrinsic factor. Can you just go over some of those other ingredients for me, Steve?
Yeah, so intrinsic factor is what your stomach secretes to bind to B12 to shepherd it across the intestinal layer, basically. And so a lot of people out there with SIBO and recurrent gut issues do have B12 issues, whether it's serum or cellular absorption. And one of the theories is it's due to low intrinsic factor. And we can take all these methylated B vitamins like methylcobalamin instead of cyanocobalamin or hydroxymethylcobalamin. These are like these special, very expensive B12s. Part of what the hope there is that maybe you don't need as much intrinsic factor. I've never seen the study. I doubt the study's ever been done about if you added intrinsic factor to those methylated versions, what would happen. But we do notice is that we are... the only company that has intrinsic factor in HCL Guard. And we notice that people report more energy while using our HCL versus other people's HCL. Now, why? I can't explain it, but one of the theories is that the intrinsic factor is actually helping them bind their B12, whether they're taking it in supplement form or getting it from food, and actually getting that through the membrane into the cell as it was intended, because that's kind of what HCL Guard's intended to do, is sort of support all the biochemical pathways we have in the stomach and try to mimic that so that the body can do what it needs to do going, you know, past the stomach down to the small and large intestine.
Cool. So you start with one, you do the test, and mm-hmm. then with your food, you take 2?
No,
I just mean like on a daily basis. Let's say you realize it's gonna work for you. Sorry. Yeah. That's not part of the test. I just mean on a daily basis. The dosage is 2 per meal.
The dosage is whatever your body needs. So again, this show is all about so the label on the back of your supplements is first and foremost, that is a legal document.
Okay.
Every company out there, first and foremost, we have to design this as a legal document. And if there's possibility, we will add health support. So does that make sense? Like that is an FDA, FTC legal document. It's not a recommendation from your health provider or from the company in general for your health.
Right.
Okay. And so we have people who we have women who are 100 pounds taking like 5 per meal. And we have guys that are 260 pounds taking 1 per meal. And the reason why is that their bodies are different and their needs are different for stomach acid. And so you have to figure that out for yourself. But what I can tell you is that the more volume you eat, so if you're eating just a salad and some salmon or something, you might only need like 1 or 2. But then if you go to a feast, Thanksgiving, Christmas, wedding, your brunch with the girls, I don't know, you might need more because you're going to eat more food. So the total volume of food, that means more acid needs to be created. And so one of the tricks you can do is if you brought your HCL with you to your family outing or your girls outing, and you're sitting there and it's been like, 30 minutes past the meal and you're like, this feels like a brick, something is going wrong. You can take another HCL usually, and it will help move things through because you probably just ate more volume. This is also the reason why people say don't drink with your meals, because the more volume of liquid you put in your stomach has to dilute that liquid with acid. And so again, if you accidentally drank, a mimosa and had some whatever gluten-free pancakes and you're going for it, you might need an extra HCL, no matter the company, whether it's our company's or someone else's, just to break down that food, because normally that's not the volume that you eat.
Okay. Right. Cause you're eating extra that day. How is the licorice dose high enough to affect blood pressure?
No, it's not. So it's not even, so glycera is the component of licorice root that supports blood pressure in some people who are low or aggravates high blood pressure for people where it's high. Ours is DGL, so deglycerinated licorice root. So it's literally in the name. It is 97.5% pure glycerinated. So in other words, only 2.5% glycera in that amount. That amount is like significantly lower than anything to affect your blood pressure.
I know we're limited on time today because this was a reschedule. We were just like slid it in between some other stuff. But Steve, can you talk about your magnesium? Because I am obsessing over it and I love it so much. Can you just touch on that for a minute? Literally, it's by my bed. Otherwise, I'd go grab the bottle. But you have a new formulation of magnesium.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you haven't heard, you're probably low in magnesium. I did a deep dive into magnesium because our community wanted more information. And it turns out it's pretty impossible to get a good reading of your body's internal stores of magnesium due to the way magnesium is distributed across the body. And the fact that we're not taking bone marrow tissue samples and muscle tissue samples. The best way to figure this out is you take a really good product. And if you notice it, then keep taking it. If you don't, then probably not the right product for you. There's a lot of forms of magnesium. There's a lot of marketers and companies out there who maybe have different beliefs than mine or don't know how to read research. I don't know what the problem is there, but there is a lot of debate about the best form of magnesium. What I would say is try it. If you don't notice what you want to get out of it, then maybe the type of magnesium doesn't matter as much as other people think it does. If you need it to go to the bathroom, you want to use magnesium to relieve mild constipation or something like that. Oxide is the best way to have diarrhea. Citrate is the second best way to have diarrhea. And glycinate, which is the form that I chose because of studies on Crohn's disease patients who had surgeries, is the least sort of version that would give you diarrhea. So that doesn't mean you can't use it for people who have hard stools. You can, in fact. You need to use normally around like 500 to 800 milligrams. Well, if you look at how much citrate or oxide you'd be using, it's not that dissimilar, but the effects will be different because oxide and citrate cause more water to flow into your bowels, which can have a greater diarrhea, loose stool effect, which some people like. I don't like it. Most people don't like it when it happens because you don't have control over your bowels. You just have to spend some time in the bathroom. But you can use glycinate to soften things up and go on a regular basis. It just normally needs to be like 4 to 6 caps. Beyond that, most individuals, I believe, are slightly low in glycine. So magnesium glycinate is magnesium bound to glycine, 2 to 1 in our product. Not everybody's product is that strong, but ours is 2 to 1. And so in every 2 capsules of our product, it's 1,440 milligrams of glycine. That's like a pretty decent dosage of glycine, which is very helpful for the gut lining. It helps for detoxification, glutathione support, things like that. And also can be down-regulating to your nervous system and supportive for going to sleep. And so what we found, and you know, this is why we have a refund policy, and it's why I'm, I guess, becoming more and more, I don't know, arrogant or cocky or something, where I'm just saying, like, try it. I bet you'll notice a difference, because that's what our customer reviews are saying, is 2 of our magnesium glycinate versus everybody else's is different. And I think part of the reason why is it's 50% more potent, as I mentioned already. We also don't have any flows or fillers. But when you do that before a stressful event, you can typically actually feel like a down regulating, like a calming experience from both the magnesium and the glycine.
Clarissa, I don't know if you have a link for that, for the magnesium. If they click the other link, Steve, will it just take them there?
Yeah, they can get there on our website.
Oh, there she is. She's the best. She just popped it on. Okay, great. Thank you, Clarissa. Thanks. So the other thing is that you crammed a lot into a smaller capsule, which I really appreciate, because I get So, you know, you got Steve here who has really been there, done that. He's tried more things than anyone I know, like wild things, more than anyone I know. And this weekend, you know, I was on the phone with him again, like, Steve, we got the situation with my husband. What do you think? He hooked us up with somebody. So thank you for that, Steve. They're going to talk. So, I mean, like, Steve is my go-to guy for a lot of things that are not being done in the tip, like, not like when you feel, doesn't everybody here like basically feel like you've tried everything? And Dr. Seebecker and I say this all the time. You haven't really tried everything, even though it feels like it, like literally everything. Steve's the closest person I know who has tried closest to everything. Yeah, big time. It's so true. But it's great because, you know, you're a wonderful resource and inspiration, and you then put your money where your mouth was and was like, look.
Well, that's why I can be so forceful about things.
Yeah, because, that's why you can be so direct.
Yeah, because I've already spent the days on the toilet for you to eliminate certain options.
Love. That's just love right there, people. That's just love. What can I say? Well, listen, we are going to be wrapping this one up because, again, we just slid it in between a couple of other things, but I wanted to say thank you for coming. There is the holidays coming. Some of you may not be able to relate at all to the stresses we were referring to, which is fantastic. I hope you're like, what are they talking about? I love the holidays for every single reason, and I never have stress at meals. Can anyone relate to ever having stressful holiday meals? Can you just chime into the chat? Like, just type any character into the chat for me. Like, I don't care if it's a B or a Z, just type a letter in there for me. Because, you know, it's hard. It can be very, very hard. And this is a time of joy. It's supposed to be a time of joy. Now, Thanksgiving is a mixed bag. Don't get me started. But let's just go with the energy of gratitude and get away from everything else, because we can all just deal with that on our own. But it is, you know, it is supposed to be a time of joy. And there's a whole other pressure about, like, oh, I'm supposed to have a good time. Oh, well, if I don't have a good time, it's another failure. Like, you know, it's just like pressure on pressure on pressure, not to mention the social pressures or this annual event of going and being interrogated by family members about why you don't have a kid or whatever it is, whatever it is, or why are you having another kid or whatever. So thank you.
The last thing I want to mention, because I didn't get this in and I know we have to go. Is that your emotional state before you eat your meal does impact your digestion at potentially a greater effect than all the enzymes in the world, all the probiotics in the world, all the ox bile, all the other HCLs and all the other stuff. So if you go into a meal dreading it, confused, conflicted, am I going to try the mashed potatoes? Am I not? Am I going to eat that? Am I going to not? Am I going to have the pie at the end? Am I not? That will impact your digestion and pretty much guarantee to exacerbate whatever your issues are. So if you can get emotionally clear ahead of time and just embrace whatever happens, your digestion, even today, with every meal, will be so much better off. And so please do not overlook just your emotional state in that meal.
That is fantastic advice. I want to show you a couple of things before we go, Steve. This book, I'm going to go into my Amazon account, so who knows what's going to come up here, but I just want to...
Yes, we do ship to Australia.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. And so it's not free shipping to Australia.
No. It does take a while. Australia post can be a little hard to deal with sometimes.
All right. Let me just show you this book here, guys. So I just wrote an ebook on the holiday. It's like a holiday guide, but this book is called Boundaries. Have you ever seen this book, Steve?
No.
So whenever I see something on Amazon that has like 22,000 reviews that are very high, I'll just click it just to see what's going on because I am a trend watcher. Anyway, so I clicked this book. I thought, oh, well, that looks really interesting. And then it is a Christian oriented book. I don't identify as Christian. I identify as yogi and I love God in all forms. So just a disclaimer there. So I was a little bit concerned, like, is this going to be like too one way or another for me? And I'm just telling you like it is, like whatever works for everybody is great. And I read a couple of pages where they handled very difficult topics. And I thought, how are they going to handle this? And if they handled it well, I would be very open to reading the book. And if they handled it in a way that could go terribly wrong, I was totally over it. So they handled some very difficult topics in a way that I had deep respect for, which I was shocked about because I am super particular about certain things. So anyway, the book won me over. And then, like, that was part of the book. The other part of the book that won me over was the advice is phenomenal. Like, phenomenal. Like, you know, the guy who wrote the book, I'll Teach You How to Be Rich, Remit Sethi. So however you pronounce his name, I'm a Sikh. He's a Sikh. They were both Indian. I should know how to pronounce his name. So he just did a blog a little while ago about the book as well, which was really interesting because this guy is definitely not a typical Christian man. And he said some great things about the book. And I was like, I'm right there with you. That book, I think, can set a lot of people free. So I just want to recommend it highly. You'll have to weed out some of the stuff and then take what it's worth. Take the great advice, leave the rest, or embrace the whole damn thing. I don't care. But I looked at that book in a very inconsistent way. I just picked it up and just read parts of it and put it back down. I probably did that 10 or 15 times. My life changed within the first 3 times. I don't know if anybody's ever heard me talk about a book with such enthusiasm before in such a general way, like for everybody, but one of their premises is that boundaries preserve relationships. And I thought, yeah. I like that.
Yeah, you can also go to YouTube for free and search Brené Brown and boundaries. Love. And she, yes. You know, Brené's point of view is like boundaries are love. Like saying no is actually more loving than saying yes when you mean no. And it significantly helped my relationship with my family as well, having boundaries. I didn't grow up with boundaries, so I had to learn it as an adult. Well, I'm still learning, actually.
That's why they call it a practice. So it's called Boundaries. Brené Brown is amazing. She changed my life with her work. And you know what else, Steve? Last thing is that I thought I knew what her books were all about because I watched the Oprah. I watched the TED Talk. You know, I love Brené Brown. I bought the book, never read it. Because I just like thought I knew her message. And one day I was going through a very particular difficult situation at the television station in this highly competitive environment. And I was on vacation, which allowed me to read the book. So I read it, like legitimately read it. And I was like, oh my gosh, whoa. I thought I knew what she was saying. Now I really understand what she was saying. And it totally pivoted something inside me that gave me so much resilience and so much energy to go and be myself and be victorious in so many ways. So anyway, I share that with you. It's great advice. And I hope you all will take advantage of these incredible opportunities to learn from truly inspired leaders that have the power to change the world one person at a time. And in the meantime, while you're at it, get your Holozymes, get your HCL guard, feel well. The big part of the whole thing is, like, if you feel well, what will you be called to do? Like, find out inside, go meditate, pray, whatever you need to do, journal. Is there anything holding you back, self-sabotaging, that is keeping you from that next step in your personal mission? And if so, laugh at it, get through it, and go enjoy your holidays. Because when you own that, and when you go, oh yeah, I do see that, right? I don't want to be well because I will have to fill in a blank. Once you recognize it, so many things can change for the better.
I love that, Siobhan. Yes, all of that. One last tip for me would be, I don't know, I guess I'm weird. Well, I know I'm weird in a lot of ways, but I go into cheating situations. And it's something we're calling, Shay's helped me, my fiance, soon to be wife, helped me sort of coin this idea of preload it. So like when I go into a situation where I know I'm going to have some sugar, I already know I'm going to double or triple everything I'm doing, because I want to be like preloaded to be able to absorb whatever the hit is, whether it's the wine or the whiskey or the sugar or whatever it is. And I don't know that everybody else approaches it like that, but I do think if you try that as well, whether it's like today's meal or next week or Christmas, but this idea that like you want to go in like double or triple, you're preloaded, you're ready for the insult to your body. That way you can recover a lot faster. And it works for me. I thought that was kind of natural for other people to do, but according to my fiance, that's not natural.
Well, especially if you're like convincing yourself that you're not going to, you know, do something that's not great for yourself, and then you end up doing it. Like, if your intention is I will not cheat, and the intention is going to be weakened by whatever, if you preloaded, then you're acknowledging in advance you're going to cheat. So yeah, it's a whole mind thing there. So I love that advice too. I do have to go. Thank you all so much. Please stock up while we have it. It's great to have you, Steve. And we'll look forward to our next time together. Thanks all.
Thanks everyone.
Okay. Bye. Thanks, Clarissa.